Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Mike Florio's on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He of NBC Sports and ProFootballTalk.com joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. We've been consumed with kicker talk, and news is breaking across the league with the Ravens making Justin Tucker very, very, very wealthy.
Boy, that's funny.
Reportedly now the Niners are not interested in acceding to the demands of Robbie Gould to facilitate a trade. What do you know?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I remember Justin Tucker 3 years ago having a very difficult, ugly, and contentious negotiation with the Ravens when they franchise tagged him. So it tells you how quickly things can change when someone decides to pay a guy. And the 49ers, for now, don't seem to be inclined to pay Robbie Gould what he wants. And most recently, he has said that he wants out of San Francisco. But one of the realities of the collective bargaining agreement, a team can apply that franchise tag to one otherwise free agent every year and squat on him as long as that team wants to, with nothing that the player can do about it other than not show up and not sign the franchise tender and ultimately sit out the full year, if not longer, like we saw Le'Veon Bell do a year ago. So I don't know what's going to happen with Gould, but all it takes is that one moment where a team decides either to put the money on the table or a player decides to take the money that's on the table, and all those hard feelings evaporate.
Would a team really be all that concerned about a 36-year-old kicker who's been doing it for a real long time, not showing up until the last day possible, and then just doing the thing he's done for the last decade and a half?
Well, look, it's a kicker, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all
yeah.
you do. You kick. And the other side of the coin is this. And it's not like the 49ers have to worry about a double doink in the playoffs knocking them out. That would be a great outcome to the season for them. They got bigger issues. It seems like every key player on the team is recovering from a torn ACL. Kickers are everywhere. Kickers are anywhere. Kickers can be found. Bring in three or four of them and let them kick for the job, right? Make it like Glengarry Glen Ross. The winner gets a set of steak knives and the loser gets fired. I mean, if you can't perform under those circumstances, or let me flip it around, if you can perform under those circumstances, chances are you can perform once you have the job. And if you don't perform when you have the job, you get fired and you bring in somebody else. It's the most fungible position in football other than maybe long snapper. And that's why, you look, hey, when you have a good one, you hang on to him. When you don't have a good one, you keep looking until you find a good one, and you don't give that guy much leash before you decide to move on to the next one.
Is it still generally true that NFL teams believe that kickers should be just kick and not be seen or heard? Because when I look at it, Mike, Robbie Gould is just a big presence. He's a big personality. He was in this town. He was getting in locker room disagreements that the press overheard. He was the union rep, and the Bears have had a reputation of not being real friendly to union reps in general. A lot of big social media presence. And then when Cody Parkey goes on the Today Show and Matt Nagy says that was more of a me thing instead of a we thing, doesn't that inform the way most teams think about their kicker?
Most teams do think that. I remember when Bill Parcells became the VP of football operations in Miami 11 years ago, the first order of business was to get rid of Jay Feely, who was not bashful about speaking his mind and not bashful about union activities and not inclined to do what most coaches think kickers should do, which is kick and then get the hell out of here. And now there's still a place for a guy who's skilled. There will be an organization out there that will embrace a guy and not worry about the fact that he likes to do more than just simply kick footballs. But I'd say that traditional, stereotypical, old-school coaching mindset is that kickers and punters and long snappers, mainly kickers and punters, because at least a long snapper has to throw a block from time to time, but kickers and punters are a different breed altogether than the real football players. And if they try to act like the real football players, we're going to find a kicker or a punter who will act like we expect a kicker and punter to act. I mean, I think that was the source of a lot of friction in Indianapolis between Pat McAfee and GM Ryan Grigson, that McAfee was a free spirit who did his own thing and said his own thing and spoke his mind, and Grigson, an old school guy that didn't like that, and eventually they McAfee decided to walk away at the same time Grigson got fired, but I think it poisoned McAfee's relationship with the team to have that constant stress coming from a guy who thinks that McAfee should have just been quiet and kicked the football.
So the rumors coming out of the Raiders are that they may have a surprise pick lined up for number four.
Surprise to them too, possibly.
That there are
they're
rumors
picking a kicker.
Right, they're going to take a kicker. The rumors at all. So has Gruden and Mayock going into conclave worked or not worked? What the hell are they doing?
Here's the thing. It would not be unprecedented for a John Gruden-coached Raiders team to take a kicker in the first round. They did it 19 years ago with Sebastian Janikowski. Although at number four, that would be a stretch. Here's what I think the Raiders could do that would constitute a surprise. Taking a quarterback to the average casual fan would come off as a surprise. If you've been following the situation more closely, you won't be surprised because there's been that glimmer of something suggesting that John Gruden isn't sold on Derek Carr, even though he's under contract for this year at $20 million with that fully guaranteed. They'd have to find a trade partner for Derek Carr if they were to go quarterback. I think it'll be a surprise if Kyler Murray's there at four. And I think that's the guy Gruden would like to get. But I think the surprise would be Dwayne Haskins, the Ohio State quarterback at number four. I think that's what they're trying to keep concealed if they're contemplating that. And my theory on clearing the building of all the area scouts, right, in a normal functioning football operation, the area scouts don't know what the draft board looks like anyway. But I think Gruden is so inclined to talk. And I think that they got those guys out to protect Gruden from going door to door, bouncing the ideas off of these scouts, just so, number one, he could hear himself articulate his thoughts, and number two, he could see how they react to what he's thinking about doing, because he doesn't have that deep-seated confidence that I think you need in what you're planning to do, because he's feeling so much pressure to justify the Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper trades. But that would be the surprise for me, Dwayne Haskins at number four to the Oakland Raiders. And it's important for them to keep their mouths shut, because the Jets are making it clear to anyone and everyone they're willing to trade out of number three. So if you have an inkling what the Raiders are going to do and you want that guy, you have the team right in front of the Raiders that you can do a deal with and cut the Raiders off at getting the guy they want.
Something I've been thinking about that I wanted to dial back a little bit. The Cardinals have the number one pick. They drafted a quarterback last year with their number one pick. They get a new coach. It shocked everybody that they even hired this guy as the new coach. The new coach may want somebody else, the latest shiny new thing, as his quarterback. So they would be willing to deal the quarterback they drafted last year for less than what his value might be, pennies on the dollar. In any other business, in anywhere else, we would look at these things outside of the context of the NFL, we would think that's insane. Absolutely, completely insane to as far as valuation, as far as risk calculus. Why do we just shrug and go, they might do that?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. Because of the change in the way that rookies are paid, and that change came in 2011 with the CBA that dramatically reduces what goes out to the players at the top of the draft, the risk of swinging and missing on a potential transformational type player who will become the next big thing in the NFL, the risk of not taking that guy, I think, is greater than the risk of taking him and having him not work out. And if you have the next Mahomes Mayfield on deck in Murray and you don't take him and he ends up being the guy that everyone talks about in 2019 or 2020, whenever he makes it onto the field, that's a huge thing for a team like the Cardinals that was right on the fringe of having a strong national following, as crazy as that sounded. We'd have never thought the Cardinals would be a team that would be a national draw. They were there. NFC Championship game, consistent contenders, a lot of buzz, a lot of sizzle, some high-profile and engaging players. Now they could use a Kyler Murray. And so, yeah, in the NFL, it makes sense if this is what they do. And I continue to believe that Murray is the guy unless and until there are multiple credible reports from big-name reporters saying that the Cardinals are going in a different direction, because Cliff Kingsbury is going to know what the pick is, and he's going to tell his agent, Eric Burkhardt, who also represents Kyler Murray. And since Murray's in Nashville and he's going to be at the draft, you can't have Murray experience that moment of, oh, crap, it's not Murray. You need to get the word out ahead of time that it's not Murray, unless Murray is prepared to pack up his bag and leave Nashville. I mean, I'd said last week, if Murray doesn't go to Nashville, that's the sign he's not number one. Now that he's there, I think the only practical way to deal with it is to get the word out that he's not number one. And I don't buy Cliff Kingsbury saying yesterday they don't know who the pick is. Look, if you don't know who the pick is 2 days before the draft, you got far bigger problems than who your pick is going to be, because you need to know 48 hours. You've been on the clock for 4 months. If you don't know by now, you're never going
to
know.
Sounds like Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers are somewhat close to a deal. Can we expect something near the Russell Wilson benchmark, or is that going to be a little different since Roethlisberger is Roethlisberger?
Well, you know, the deal is done, but the numbers aren't out yet. And the last time Roethlisberger did a new deal, the numbers didn't come out right away. And it created speculation that maybe he didn't get a great deal, but he ultimately did. He's just very circumspect about letting that information out there publicly. And I think when we see the numbers, he's going to be somewhere between Matt Ryan at $30 million a year and Aaron Rodgers at $33.5 million a year. It's only a two-year extension, which means it's a three-year contract. And I think 3 years, you know, $90 to $96 million makes sense for the ultimate outcome of this deal. And the extension then, the value of it would be, and let me be more accurate, the extension will be worth $60 to $64 million, so the new money average looks great. He's already due to make $17 million this year, so the total value, I'd say, will be between 25 and 30. The extension will be between 30 and 32, something like that. And, you know, he retires with the Steelers, and, you know, then they have to worry about finding their next quarterback, because they went 20 years between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger, and even though they made it to a Super Bowl somehow, they saw the value, as you guys are seeing the value of having a potential franchise quarterback. It changes everything when you have a guy that can thrust you into contention each and every year.
Mike Florio, thank you.
See you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.